Welcome to Finish Well Podcast, where changing the world starts with changing your home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Podcast. I'm so happy that you're with me today. We are talking about Easter and Holy Week, and that is just going to be so fun. The podcast is episode number 206, Hosanna Hallelujah Easter Fun. I don't know about you, but I find that holidays go by so fast as a mom. I mean, I start preparing, I start decorating, soon I'm cooking, I'm inviting people, I'm getting clothes, I'm getting dressed, I'm going to church, I'm fixing a meal, and then it's over. And I think, wait, I wanted this to be spiritual, significantly meaningful, and all these things, and yet it can go by so fast. So I wanted to talk today about how to have fun during Holy Week and Easter, and yet have it in a meaningful, significant way. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday are so important. One of the things that has led me to that conviction is that every single gospel writer shares the details of Jesus's final week. All of them do. They start with Palm Sunday when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem on a donkey and people are waving palms and putting down their blankets and their coats. And it goes all the way to the Resurrection Sunday. Now, they all share after the resurrection too, but some of them share this story, some of them share this, but they all significantly give us the details of Palm Sunday to resurrection. And I just can't help but think the Lord God is saying this week, this final week before Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection is a very significant week. And if you think about it, if you knew, okay, I'm telling you today that next Friday you're going to pass away, you would be thinking very strategically, what am I going to tell my children? What am I going to do with them? What do I want them to remember? Because that week is going to be significant in their memory. And I really believe that Jesus was very strategic in his final week of planning events and sharing things that were special, significant with his disciples. And so that's what I want to start with, that idea that there is biblical truth that we want to give our children during this Holy of Holy Weeks, Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday. And I created some devotions, family devotions. And I first just created them for myself because the week was a whirl for us. I just have to be honest. My husband's a pastor. We would have Easter in the park and we would be going door to door, passing out flyers. We would be getting all the eggs ready for a big Easter hunt. We would have to pack up all the stuff, take it to a park, set it up. And by the time Easter Sunday service was over, we would come back to our house and collapse. And we, of course, still had a dinner and we would do kind of a cold dinner, like cold ham and potato salad and stuff like that with another family. But I'm telling you, it was just such a whirlwind. But I created these devotions at first for myself. And then I thought, you know, I really, looking back, wish that at Christmas we do devotions for the month of December. And I thought, I wish we had taken time every day to do special strategic Holy Week and Easter devotions. So I am going to share, it's not that we didn't do anything with our kids, because of course we did. And then I also did things with them as their Sunday school teacher with other children or in homeschool co-op with the other co-op children. So I'm going to share some of the things that I've done. And, but if you're wanting to kind of have a tool in your hand that can help you with celebrating Easter, Holy Week, then I would recommend my Celebrate Easter family devotions. And they're called Celebrate Easter devotions. They are available in print at Amazon, full color, and they're also available as a digital, as an ebook at our website, powerlineprod.com. These devotions start on Saturday. I call it Palm Sunday Eve, and that's when Jesus is anointed at Bethany, and then they go through Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through resurrection. But it doesn't stop there. I do a whole nother week, and that whole nother week, I talk about Jesus appearing to his disciples, the road to Emmaus, Jesus reinstating Peter, the Great Commission 1, the Great Commission 2, and then the Ascension. And then the Sunday after Easter, we do a devotion called The Power of the Resurrection. Now, these devotions are very, they just enrich my soul. So if no one does them with me, I'm completely fine to do them myself. But they're created for children, for old people, for young adults, whoever wants to do it. There are some things that are especially for children, like making a circle book of all the events of this special week. But I want to start by just encouraging you. I think you can use traditions to pass on biblical truth, to pass on biblical values, and to celebrate God's goodness and to give your family a unique identity. We are a family that loves Jesus. We think that Easter's important. We think that Holy Week is important. All of those things are significant. And if you want to celebrate Holy Week and Easter in a way that's meaningful for your family, start with what is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? So for me, what I wanted to accomplish was I wanted my children to understand what happened that final week and why it is important for us today. So I wanted to look at each event, not only what happened and have them learn kind of what happened, like this happened on Saturday, then Sunday, then Monday, you know, through the week, but also to know why are those things important for us today. There's so much rich spiritual truth in that final week of Jesus' life. And then, so a couple of things that I did with my children throughout the years to help them remember is two different things. One is the resurrection eggs, and you can make them yourself. Long ago, I made them myself. I saw this blog post and I just thought, oh, that's a great idea. And basically what you do is you have a dozen plastic eggs. When I used up an egg carton, I didn't throw it away, and I got these 12 plastic eggs. We have tons of plastic Easter eggs. Got those, put them in my, in the container, and inside each egg, I put something significant, like a little piece of grass that represented a palm for Palm Sunday, and, a tiny piece of rope, for leading in the donkey, and just little different things like that. And then, of course, the final egg, the one representing resurrection, was empty. So we would go through that, and we'd go through it several times, and we'd go through the days in order. So they kind of got that feel of the first week. So Palm Sunday Eve, Jesus is anointed at Bethany. On Sunday is the triumphal entry. And then in those early days, they're cleansing the temple. There's a plot to kill Jesus. And then we have the Passover. Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples. He tells them, he institutes communion and tells them to celebrate that in remembrance of him. Then there's the garden. He's praying in the garden. Lord, if it's your will, please take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Then Jesus is betrayed by Judas with a kiss. He's arrested. He's taken to trial. He's tortured and put to death. Peter denies him. Judas commits suicide. And there's supernatural events as Jesus dies. So in the devotions, a lot of those things happen on one particular day. I kind of spread them out. So there's one thing we're looking at every single day. Like on Friday is the crucifixion. fiction, but on Saturday, we look at the supernatural events that happened as Jesus died. Then Sunday is the resurrection. So those are the significant events of Holy Week. So that is one big thing. So these are significant events I want my children to know about and remember. And then how do they apply to me today? Second biblical truth I want to instill in my children is resurrection power. And that's why I added a whole nother week, because the Bible tells me that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in me. And one day it's going to clothe me with my heavenly body. It's the same resurrection power. So that resurrection power that makes all things new, what does that mean for us today? I mean, ultimately, the resurrection power is going to be when I die and I'm resurrected to be with the Lord. But what about in our life? There's resurrection power. So I spent a whole second week focusing on the resurrection. And that's kind of nice because Easter is done. You know, you don't have to buy a new dress. You don't have to fix the food and anything. You can just focus on that. So that's the truth I want to pass on. But then there's also biblical values, how we live. So what are some biblical values that you can pass on during Easter? One is the idea that we celebrate God's goodness. Another idea is that we thank Him, that we worship Him. And then finally, that we share the good news. What is better than to invite unsaved people to an Easter service or to your meal? We like to put place cards around and, you know, you sit here and you sit here. And it's so nice to add a scripture to that. One of the things I did in helping instill this in my children is my mom actually made them. She had laminated all of these different color pages from the whole Easter week, like Palm Sunday, the garden, the Last Supper, all of these different things. They were colored. This is the old days, right? They're colored in and then they're laminated. She probably laminated them with contact paper. I mean, this is how old we're talking. She did a really nice job and I still use them today with Sunday school classes and with my grandchildren. And what I would do, so they're basically notebook paper size. And then I would put them, I would go through them all in order and lay them out. And then I would say, okay, who wants to, then I would shuffle them up. Who wants to try to put them in order and then give them to one of the kids? And then they would try on the long table to put all of them in order. And if they didn't, do it in order, I would show them, okay, no, this goes here and this goes here, because remember it was first this, this and this. So, that was a really fun game they liked to play. To me, it was like a learning thing, but it turned into a game. And that's just one of the many family traditions that make Easter special, because it's not just the quote spiritual unquote things that we do, but it's those things that say, oh, we always buy a new Easter dress. Why do we always buy a new Easter dress? Because Easter is significant. Easter is the most important holiday in the Christian year. So of course we're going to dress up. We're going to wear our best because Easter is significant. Easter, we go to church together because God's people gather all around the world to celebrate Easter. We do devotions as a family because Easter is significant. And we have extended family meals. We invite family and friends over to celebrate with us because Easter is significant. We have special food because Easter is significant. We're celebrating. And in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah, by, you know, God telling him to say this, tells the people to celebrate. He says, go make choice food and sweet drinks and give to those who have none. So there's that sense of celebrating that we celebrate with food. We celebrate with good food. We celebrate with sweet drinks. Like at Christmas, we have eggnog. Another thing that we like to do is we like to hide Easter eggs for the kids to find. And we hide the plastic ones. And then what they do is they can turn in their eggs for candy. That way we have them again next year. But one thing with my grandchildren, because of course they're really little and there's always like a little baby or toddler. So now the grandchildren come over on Easter afternoon and they hunt for eggs. And what I do, I did this last year, is I gave each of them a different color egg. So Emily's eggs were purple, Annie's eggs were pink, Cooper's eggs were green, and Rusty's eggs were blue, and Luca's eggs this year will be orange. And so they went to look for their color of egg. So Annie's young, and then Emily's even younger. So her eggs, Emily's eggs, I just hid in the porch. And she could find those eggs super easy. Annie's were the easiest to find outside. And then Rusty and Cooper's were a little harder because they can find eggs. And so that way one child doesn't just grab all the eggs. That was such a great idea. And I definitely want to do it again. There's also different crafts that you can do together at Easter. My goal is always easy. I like things to be easy. I made a circle book with a really cute cartoon pictures of all of the Holy Week and Easter. And they cut out the circles and then glue them together to make a circle book. And that's a really easy and really fun craft. Another thing, it's more baking, but I still consider it a craft because, on Good Friday to make the cross buns, where they're little buns with dried fruit in them, and then they're frosted with a cross on the top of each buns. And those are always really fun to make and really fun to enjoy together. So those are different things. Making place cards where you add a scripture or something that you appreciate about the visitor, those always go so well with people because we just love that, don't we? Now, here are some Easter symbols. If you're thinking about, well, what kind of things could I decorate with? What kind of crafts could I do? The cross is a big symbol for Easter. Big, big symbol for Easter. And the cross reminds us of what Jesus accomplished with his death and resurrection. So that's why like making the hot cross buns on Good Friday is a great idea. Other things that you can do is you can just take a piece of paper, draw a cross on it, and then they can decorate it with silk flowers, with tissue paper. So the cross is something plain and almost horrible, but Jesus, by dying on the cross and what he accomplished, the cross is now beautiful to us. Isn't that amazing? Like that was the worst Roman torture you could experience. But now when we see a cross, we're so grateful. The lamb represents Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died and was sacrificed for the sins of the world. And the lamb, that's a really fun craft for little ones. You draw an outline of a lamb with a face, and then everywhere except the face, they put cotton balls on the lamb to make him fluffy. And they always like that. Decorating with white lilies, are lovely flowers that represent purity and hope. Candles symbolize Jesus is the light of the world, and his resurrection is the hope of eternal life in heaven. Eggs symbolize new life and rebirth. And people often decorate eggs in really pretty colors. There are crafts you can do with eggs that are a little bit complicated, where you cover them with glue and then you cut them with tiny scissors and then put little things inside. Butterflies symbolize new birth and the resurrection. So butterflies are always fun to decorate with too. So there's so many different things. You can make your own Easter candy. You can have a parade together where on Palm Sunday, it's fun to do a parade where everybody thinks, okay, what's one thing I can worship Jesus with? Maybe a banner, maybe a palm branch that you can wave, and maybe a tambourine that you can bang on or a bell that you can ring. And then you just have a parade, a worship parade for Jesus. Another thing that's fun that week is to watch some of the movies. There's so many good movies now that you can watch about Holy Week and about the resurrection. So a lot of those are really fun. Plan on doing some really nice meals that aren't super hard. Sometimes if we do meals that are super hard, then we get grumpy because we have to put so much work in. So make things that you really enjoy making. For example, this year we're having a Passover Seder. We've done that not every year, but several years. So for the Passover Seder, now, I'm not going to make everything. Other people are going to bring stuff, but we're going to have roasted chicken. Someone is bringing lamb, an apple and walnut charoset. It's a traditional Passover dish, carrot salad, potato pancakes, cheese blitzes, and apple tartlets or apple pie. So that's a really simple menu, especially if everybody is making something. Good Friday, we usually have a nice meal and we have communion together. So we have lamb or roast or fish, parsley, potatoes, asparagus, pineapple upside down cake, and grape juice for the communion. But I never do ham on Good Friday because, you know, on Good Friday he died and we're like keeping kosher because we're still under the law. We're not still under the law, of course, because he died once for all, but you know what I mean, the symbolism. And then on Easter, we usually have ham because now all things are free for us. Easter breakfast ideas might be Danish, orange juice, a quiche. I would go out and buy donuts because remember I told you we would always be rushing around to go set everything up for church in the park. My husband's the pastor and we were all like the setup team with several other people. And then after we'd come home, we'd have a very low key meal. We'd have ham, we'd have potato salad, jello salad, deviled eggs, minted peas and carrots. That was probably the only hot thing, the minted peas and carrots. And we'd have carrot cake or coconut cake or key lime pie. So those are just some food ideas that are special, but not necessarily totally difficult to act out. Now, we love to dress up and act it out. And one of the traditions that we had when the children were little, and my daughter has carried this tradition on, is that we would have all the kids put on bathrobes or costumes and head coverings, you know, like they would wear back in Jesus' day, and they would act out the crucifixion and, the arrest and all of that in the crucifixion. And then it would end with us putting Jesus's body in the tomb. Then, of course, on Easter Sunday, we get up, we go find the tomb is empty. So that's really fun. But you don't just have to do that. You could do a podcast. You could do a radio drama. Those are so fun, especially the sound effects. Or you could videotape dressing up and acting out the crucifixion story. So those are all just some, you know, great ideas of things that are fun. And you know, things don't have to be perfect. Your children don't remember if things were perfect or not. They remember that you did fun things together. So don't think, oh, well, we're not, you know, drama people. No, that's not the point. That is definitely, definitely not the point. One of the things that's also fun is to do a treasure hunt when you are talking about the plot, because, you know, Judas is going to give Jesus away for 30 pieces of silver. And so doing a treasure hunt and then talking about treasure in heaven versus treasure on earth. But those are just some other things that we have done over the years. There's a couple of object lessons that we really enjoy. And one of them, I already told you about the resurrection eggs, where there's a symbol for each event of Holy Week inside the eggs. But another is the lamb blood and snake venom. When snake venom is injected into a lamb or sheep, the animal will actually create antibodies to fight the poison. So when the sheep is bitten by a poisonous snake, it will have difficulty swallowing, the tongue will protrude from its mouth, the animal will dribble saliva, and often it will be unable to stand and they'll throw up the semi-contents through his nose. But after remaining motionless for a period of time, the sheep regains consciousness because there is an enzyme found in the stomach that actually breaks down the venom. And they, for centuries, used lamb's blood and sheep blood to, as an antidote if someone was bitten by a poisonous snake. And they're actually starting to use that again. So it's just a really good illustration. You can find videos about this on YouTube, and it's a really neat way. I think it's a beautiful picture because there was Jesus. Like, it looked to everyone like Satan had gotten him. He breathed his last and they buried him, but then he rose up again. So I love that picture of the lamb and the snake venom. That is a great object lesson. And again, I just want to encourage you, if you're wanting a meaningful Easter, grab a copy of our family devotions. It's called Celebrate Easter Devotions. It's available at powerlineprod.com. Go to our store at powerlineprod.com and find the Celebrate Easter Devotions. They're digital. You can buy them on our store. They're digital. Or you can go to Amazon. There's a link on the page and you can get a print copy. So whatever you choose to do, I really want to encourage you, go to the deeper place this year. Go to the deeper place and find out more about the Easter story than maybe you ever knew before or heard before. Maybe if your church has services, go to the different weekly services, and maybe that would be something significant as a family. But don't let this Easter go by. Don't let this Holy Week go by without having it be significant for your spiritual walk with God. I know that it will mean so much if you do that. And I just am so excited. You'll be celebrating. I'll be celebrating. And we will all be rejoicing that Jesus died for our sins and rose again victorious. And now heaven is open. God bless you and happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well podcast with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first and third Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network.